I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes at night.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello to the listeners joining us now at great radio stations like 96.5 WCMF, Rochester's Classic Rock. Also, our friends down at Kansas City, 98.9, The Rock, Kansas City's rock station. Way to go, Chiefs. And Big Dog, 97.9 in Joplin, Missouri. Our question today, when were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
Here's one for you. It says, Ola guys, one time my husband handcuffed me to the bed trying to be sexy with some old handcuffs he found, but he never thought to himself, where are the keys? So after breaking a pair of pliers and putting me in a whole bunch of pain, he had to call the fire department. He tried to pull my pants back on, but he couldn't get them over my big butt, so I'm lying there naked with men all over me trying to cut me out of her bed. No more kinks. And yes, he did cover me. Okay.
Sounds like your ultimate fantasy. Now I'm surrounded by firemen.
It says he covered me with the sheet. She mentions that the sheets may have been stained. I will put it that way.
Oh, so this was post.
This was, well, you're not thinking about it until you're done, right? Then it's like, hey, unhandcuff me. It's like, baby, I don't know where the keys are. So, yeah, you got to call the fire department. Mm. And listen, I don't care how long it took the fire department to get you free. They took longer than they needed to.
Have you ever had the fire department over your house?
Yes.
Looks like state troopers.
Oh, the way they're built.
Oh, my God. You know what I mean? You'd think like the special forces came through your door.
Man, the first house I bought in Seattle, right, the new alarm system, it's a brand new construction, all this crap. There was something faulty about the fire alarm. And the problem is, it wouldn't necessarily sound in the house. Sometimes it would, but other times it just sent the signal
straight to
the fire department that we have. So I'm sitting in the house, we're watching TV, we hear the fire trucks outside, but to get to our front door, you had to go down this weird gravel alley. It's just a weird setup for the house. But I'm like, man, they're awfully close, and then they kind of park on the road, and then they force, like, the biggest truck they have in this narrow-ass alley, which is problematic. But again, they think there's an emergency, so you got to do what you got to do. Then there's a knock on my door, and I'm like, well, that can't be them. Maybe it's a neighbor who needs help. I opened it up, there's like eight guys, and they are geared up, man. They got the axes, everything else. And I'm just looking at the guys, and they're looking at me, and I'm like, do you talk? Do I talk? Like, what do you guys need? Like, we just got a signal that, you know, like, your house is on fire. I'm like, well, it's not. I mean, yeah. But I was like, well, who told you that? And I'm thinking, like, somebody called for a prank, and they're like, no, it's, you know, the system, it sent something there. Maybe it was your smoke alarm. I'm like, all right, whatever, I apologize. And for like 45 minutes, they're trying to get this big-ass truck back out of the alley. 2 days later, hear the fire trucks again.
Oh, no.
No, but I refuse to believe that they're coming to my home because obviously this thing has just happened. And they come around the corner again. Here's this big-ass fire truck in the alley. And I'm like, oh, my God. And again, it sent another silent alarm to them. So these guys show up again. And two of the guys I kind of recognized from last time. And they have their axes out and all the rest of the gear again. And I open the door. And as soon as they see me, like, there's some familiarity there. And it's just like, is your house on fire? I'm like, guys, it's not, man. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why this happened. It happened a third time about a week later. Okay, so, again, I don't realize that it's sending the freaking signal. These guys show up again. This time, they don't bother to put the truck into the alley. They send one guy down just to tap on the door.
Now they're learning.
No, he's kind of half-dressed, like, if your house is on fire, I put on the rest of my gear.
I was on my way back. You just told me to stop.
Well, it was just like, hey, man. And I'm like, dude, I honestly, God, I don't know how to explain this. So finally, we disassemble the entire security system. I'm like, look, I don't know what to do. And he tells me, man, if this happens again, he's like, we have to charge you. And he's like, I'm not trying to be a D about this. But he's like, honest to God, you know, rallies the troops.
Yes, they're coming out.
Right. And he's like, so we're going to have to charge you. And that once I heard that, I'm like, we're taking this thing apart. We call whatever alarm system it was. They come over. They redo the thing. Well, now the fire alarm goes off in the home, all right? but it does not send a signal to the fire department. So this thing's blaring at like 4 in the morning. You jump out of bed, check every part of the house. There's nothing wrong. It's still this faulty-ass system. But I'm waiting for the fire department to show up. I'm already trying to explain, you know, how am I going to do this? They never showed up to the point that I had to call them to say, hey.
Did you get the signal?
And they're like, no, for once, actually, we did. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, well, it goes off of my house now, but it doesn't. It does not send a signal to you. So then I discontinue the service with this particular alarm company. I'm like, it's just not worth it, right? It's more trouble than it's worth.
No, it doesn't seem like it works.
Right. Hopefully my dog will bark if the house is on fire. That is what I've decided our fire security is going to be. About a year later, they send me this bill for like $4,000 or something. I'm like, what is this? They're trying to convince me that I just haven't paid my bill. So, well, I haven't paid my bill because I discontinued my service with you guys, right? So we're going back and forth. They don't think I'm telling the truth. Finally, I light a piece of paper on fire, hold it under the smoke detector. Now, the smoke detector still works because it's battery operated. The woman on the phone can now hear that my alarm's going off. I said, I'm willing to wait. You tell me when it shows up on your computer. Because every time it goes off, it lets them know. There's a pause. I'm like, no, keep waiting. She's like, oh, well, yeah, we're not getting a signal. So I said, look, this is where we're at then. Either you did not discontinue my service and this S doesn't work because you can hear my alarm and you're not getting a message, or I'm telling you the truth. I discontinued the service. That's why you're not getting the signal. Either way, you ain't getting $4,000. And that's how we settled that. That alarm system was not worth the freaking trouble.
When were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hola.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
What's going on?
I'm doing a radio show asking him. Go ahead.
So I was going to tell you a story about a divorce, but I figured I'd skip it and tell you about when we were kids. Me and my buddy ended up homeless, man. So when we finally got a new apartment, it was on third story in Vancouver. And we'd share the key. We had no money, no TV, no food, nothing, dude. We just had that apartment. So we'd take turns with the key. So whoever got home first had to climb up on the awning of the first story of the apartment, then two more balconies, then we'd bust into our apartment.
Ah, the good old days.
Why didn't you just hide the key?
I was only 18.
But that's when you learn to hide a key, is when you're a kid. Like, you got a house key hidden in case, you know, BS hits the fan. Remember, they used to make those little fake rocks that were plastic that had, like, a key in it.
The only reason I'm scared to, like, hide a key now is that everyone hides their key in the same place.
It was right by Central Park in Vancouver, man. Like, I don't know about leaving keys laying around.
Well, you typically hide.
Wow, I mean...
Yeah, but here's...
Would that have made a difference if they had a key? I mean, they're already getting in every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. But I feel like if you hide your key outside, it needs to be for a limited amount of time. Like, someone's going to be there within 2 hours. Because I feel like if I wanted to break into your house, and I have no skills to pick a lock, like, look under the planters, look under these things. If it's outside, it's probably in one of these places.
I was having a conversation about locking yourself out not too long ago with a buddy of mine, and I was like, you know what, man? My life has changed for the better, now that I've got that keypad, I just go up and I press the keypad, it lights up, and then I can open the door and unlock it, right?
What if the battery dies?
That is what he said. He said, you haven't been in the situation yet where the battery needs to be replaced on that, have you? And I said, no, I haven't. Why? And he said, well, because then it doesn't work. And I was like, well, don't you have to replace the battery from the inside? He's like, you need to do that way in advance. I was like,
yeah, I mean, if the battery goes dead.
I would never think about it either.
I didn't either until he said it. I was like, oh, God.
It's kind of like preemptively changing a light bulb.
Or changing the batteries in your smoke detector, even if they're still good because it's the first of the year.
It chirps it. Is that what you're supposed to do?
You're supposed to change them in the first
year. But, at least it chirps. Like, you know. But I'm just saying, like light bulbs, you never think, like, oh, it's been in there for months. You just go, oh, it burnt out.
It burnt out.
I would think the same thing with that keypad. I would never think to replace that battery.
I have two outdoor lights in the house. And if flip one light switch, they both come on. So about 2 weeks ago, I'm like, ah, damn it. All right, remember, change the one light bulb because now you're down to one light. The next day, they're both out. And I still haven't changed them.
Yeah,
I'm just that guy.
When were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
And it only pisses me off when I'm trying to find the key lock for my key. Like, damn it, man. I can't see it because there's no light.
I have like a big light in my bedroom, but I don't use it that often, right?
Right.
I mean, just there's light in there or a lamp or whatever, but I keep forgetting that it's kind of on the fritz. So if I leave it on for more than a few minutes, all of a sudden it's like a strobe light. It's like, I got to get out of here.
Jesus. Yeah, change it.
Change the bulb.
Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going?
Hola.
Hola. So I was going to tell you guys about a time I got locked out of my apartment when I was in college. I lived on the third floor of this apartment, and I think it was Christmas break. My roommate was home with his family somewhere, and I left to go walk my girlfriend down to her car and left my keys and my phone inside the apartment. So she drives off, and I'm stuck outside all by myself. I think I must have tried to knock on the landlord's door, and he didn't answer or something, so I was kind of thinking about what to do and got down into the parking garage, and there was a big ladder laying there along the side of the wall, so I took it outside into a little alley by the side of our apartment building, kind of propped it up against the fence next door, and climbed up three floors up on this ladder, and barely made it up to my window. And at the top, I remember this moment where I'm sitting there trying to get the screen open, and it was just like this moment of panic. And it's like, screw this, just ripped through the screen and kind of just tumbled in the window into my apartment. But
gee, I couldn't have got on the ladder.
I've hated ladders ever since.
Yeah. That's too high for me. I mean, especially when it's under my power, there's nobody holding it at the bottom, any of that stuff.
No, thank you. Really?
No.
I'm not...
Hell no.
I was painting the outside of the house, but it's high enough. I had to go to Home Depot and rent a ladder, right? So it's one of those. And I wasn't too bad. But then I realized, as you get like toward this tippy top, it's just... I realize I'm leaning over like just to finish this last little bit of this window, right? I'm not going to pay someone to do it. I'm going to do it. So I'm leaning over. I got this brush, and I feel the entire weight of this ladder shift. And after that, I'm like, there's one little part of the window that's not getting painted. Just, it's not happening.
No. That's the same with changing like a battery in a smoke detector, man. There's one that's in the very top of a cathedral ceiling.
But it's over your stairs, right?
It is high. And I mean, like, yeah. And you're stepping on where it says, don't step here.
Right.
And now, like, I'm holding on to the walls. You know what I mean? And I've got, like, a 9-volt in one hand. And now, you know what's going to happen when I get up there? Oh, which side is which?
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to mess this up. It's like one shot. I'm going to poke it in as hard as I can and hope it sticks. You know what I mean?
But, yeah, I used to do it in my old place. I had to stand on, like, the kitchen countertops to get up there. And, like, one day I show up to the bar just drenched in sweat. Well, he's like, what have you been doing? I was like, probably doing something I should have had help with. Because right. I did not have a ladder and, like, full lean over. Like, yes. I'll get her in.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
When were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
Here's a comment for you. It says, my ex-wife was a nurse at a hospital. A man came in with a milk jug ring stuck around the beans and the Frank turning blue.
Ooh. Hmm.
Ooh. It's plastic, man.
Just cut it.
Just cut the thing off. Hello, Monty. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, I wanted to share with you guys about one time when I got, I guess you could say I was stuck and trapped in my bed. This was back in the 70s, being a young rock musician. I came home after the Friday night gig and passed out there on the bed. Anyway, my girlfriend found out about some dirt I had done, and she took a needle and thread and sewed the sheet over me and around me to the mattress. And then woke me up with a glass of water to the face and introduced me to her favorite frying pan.
Oh!
Oh, no way!
How many times did she beat you with that thing?
Well, it was a small frying pan used for eggs, and she just kind of slapped me in the thighs and in sensitive spots with it. But I was traumatized for years and had trust issues, as you can imagine.
Did you write a song about it?
Actually, I did at one time, a punk rock song.
What was it called?
It was called Angry.
Was that about her or you?
I think it was about me, because I was just living the life, you know? And, yeah, she took it all wrong. Yes, Forrest Gump would say I had relations with her sister.
Oh!
But wow. But let me get that. You got trust issues.
You had sex
adds
with
up.
Her sister.
Look,
man, I admire just the tenacity of what she did. Because
diabolical.
I can't sew a patch onto something if I have a hole in it. So, I mean, the fact that she actually sewed you into your bed is impressive stuff.
I like the frying pan addition. I did not see that part coming.
Yeah, I could wiggle my fingers and toes, but, yeah, I still have trust issues to this day.
Okay. Are you still in a band?
If you don't sleep with your significant other's sister, a lot of that will melt away.
Well, yeah, I was young and dumb at the time.
Okay. And did you ever see her again? Did you ever hear from her again?
No, actually, I still think about her often, and if I ever do see her, I am going the other way.
Okay. All right. If I ever see her, I'm going the other way.
What about her sister? Have you seen her sister since?
No, but I would like to.
I see.
Okay.
I would like to. All right. It's in the 70s. Doesn't matter how much time has passed.
Sure, it doesn't look anything like it did.
Doesn't matter. It felt that good.
Either one of you. When were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
Never been hit with a pan. I can say that. I was going through my roles. I've been hit with a lot of things. Never been hit with a pan.
Yeah, it seems like things go flying through the air at me.
Yeah, well,
I have been hit, but I mean,
but
it
in that
like,
kind of argument, you don't want to do it in the kitchen. Like, if you even feel it's leading that way, what I would do, like, act like you're just walking away. Maybe they follow you, but get away from the heavy items, because there are knives, frying pans. You know, go somewhere that's like a throw pillow.
Sure, sure. When were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
I'm kind of happy to say I don't. Anything's been launched at me.
Trust
really?
Issues.
Yeah. Oh man.
You never had anything thrown at you?
No.
Have you ever dated a redhead?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
We're going to start throwing stuff at
you. That seems statistically impossible.
I mean, I've been in other places. I've been at sporting events. I've had things thrown at me, but not by a woman I'm dating.
Yeah, relationship thrown.
No.
Interesting.
I had a cup of ice thrown on me once. A beer was thrown at me but missed and hit a guy like two rows in front of me, and the person who threw the cup had some severe regrets.
I've had a cup of water thrown at me.
Because when homie stood up,
dinner.
I was like, hey, man, that's that dude right up there. And his 6'8" ass frame went up the stairs and handled his business. If you're going to throw some at someone, make sure you have good aim.
Yeah, I had a cup of water thrown at me at dinner.
Problem
with that was it included the cup, which was a glass. When were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
Wait a minute.
You got away with words,
my
man.
The whole damn thing.
The whole thing.
What was the discussion about?
Not sure, but it probably wasn't very positive.
They threw the whole thing.
The whole cup.
Like,
whole
I've
glass.
Had beer thrown on me, but it was
you know how you normally take the water and then throw the water in the person's
yeah,
face?
Yeah, so it's called throwing water in someone's
yeah, well,
face.
That accompanied the glass.
Hello, Forrest. Welcome to the men's room.
So, back in 2010, 2011.
Time out. You did that perfectly. You actually started that perfectly, right out of the gate, right into the story. You're the best caller we've had all year. Continue.
So 2010, 2011, I got trapped in a freezer on a submarine for an hour and a half.
Was the submarine submerged?
Yes, we were underway.
And did anyone know you were in the freezer? Was it a prank or did you end up locked in there?
No. So to get in, it's not the door isn't on the floor. It's raised up about knee level.
All right.
And you got to dig your way through the freezer because it's so packed. And so I got in there, and the little nook I had in the boat listed sideways, and about 200 pounds of beef fell right in front of the door, and it all jammed right there.
No way. So what were you in there? Yeah. What were you in there trying to get? Were you working in the kitchen staff?
Yeah, I was a culinary specialist.
Okay, and what were you going for in there?
I don't remember. I was just doing my freezer pull for the next couple of days.
How cold was your freezer?
It is... it's like -3 because we turned the walk-in into a freezer also.
Sure.
So all the R134 plant just freezes it up.
So what are you wearing in -3 degrees for an hour and a half?
What was I wearing?
Yeah.
I had my blue Gigi Cam coat on and my poopy suit and some boots.
So you were freezing your ass off.
Oh, I thought I was going to die.
So were you just waiting for someone to come in? Or were you banging on the door or what?
Oh, no, you can't bang on the door. You'll get your butt chewed out.
Yeah, what? But you're trapped in a freezer.
Yeah, -3 degrees.
Yeah, I'll take that. I mean, look.
Chew my warm, thawed-out butt. I'm all right with that.
What are you going to do? Kick me off the submarine?
Right.
I mean, what do they do? What do they do? What do they do if you F up in a submarine so bad that they have to get you off of it?
But you're trapped in a freezer that's -3 degrees. Surely they can overlook this one transgression of you banging on the door, right?
I was a nub, so I was not willing to get in trouble like that.
All right. What happens if someone does something really heinous and they're on a submarine? What do you do? Is there a jail on the sub?
No. You get stuck in chief's quarters, and they put one of the chiefs on watch, and it makes them really mad because now they got an extra watch to watch you. But nothing ever like that happened on the boat I was on.
How did you eventually get out of your -3 degrees prison?
So my chief came around and opened the door, and it all spilled out. Because it was normally, it only takes you like a half hour to get in there, get your ass, and get back out. But I was stuck in there for an hour and a half, and he was wondering where the hell I was.
How long did it take you to warm back up where you were functional?
Like 20 minutes. I got warm back up in the kitchen and went right back to work.
Right. Yeah, that's still terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying enough. Like just by saying trapped in the question, I feel like you're already there by being on a submarine.
Yeah, for starters.
First of all, you know what I mean? You're already in a situation where you're not going anywhere. How long are you down there for?
Longest we did was 74 days.
74 days submerged.
Yep.
And when you come to the surface, do they allow you to like open the hatch and stick your head out for a second just to get some fresh air or anything?
If we're surfaced up and we're just floating around and not on mission or anything, they'll go up there and do swim calls and stuff.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you pop up in the Caribbean or whatever, you know what I mean? You want to take a little swim. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay. So now I poked my head out. I've gotten some fresh air. How bad does it smell when I get back into the submarine?
So if you're a submariner, you're on and off the boat so much, there's this thing called amine, and it stinks like cat pee. You don't notice it, though. But my wife and my dog noticed it because he peed on my sea bag when I got back from underwear.
I joined the Navy.
And so did your wife.
Get trapped in a freezer, have your pets pee on your stuff. They don't put that in the brochure.
No, they do not.
Well, if you die on a submarine, they put you in the freezer anyway, so I was in the right spot.
Did you ever
have
anyone?
That's a great outlook. I like that. Positive.
Did you ever have anyone pass away while you were on a submarine?
No.
Okay, thank God.
What's the protocol for that? I mean, do you pop up to the surface, throw them overboard? Do you put them in the freezer to keep the stink down, or what?
If we're underway and on mission, we pop them in the freezer, and then one of the cooks stands watch in the freezer to make sure no one desecrates the body.
Yeah. That is insane.
Yeah, see, again, they don't point this out in the commercials. Everything looks real cool in the commercials. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing all the stuff you think you'd want to do.
Well, and ideally, with that many sailors and, like, everybody should be in decent shape. Like, there can't be that many random
deaths. You should
be,
sure. No, understood, but things go wrong, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, if you put them in the freezer, so like he said, you're storing all your beef in the freezer and all that, when it's like beef night, I think I'm going to skip it. Is that where Dead Ted is? Yeah. I mean, you know what? I don't want that steak.
I mean, generally, I agree with you, but I have to imagine... After a couple, you're just starving. Like, who cares?
Look, as gray and dark and crappy as it is in Seattle for the winters, you know, I can't imagine being in a place without any windows for 74 days.
Well, what would you look at? Darkness.
That's what I'm saying. I can't imagine not seeing the sun. Like, I would think that your eyes would have a week adjustment period when you get out of there just based on daylight. Like, you almost come out like a vampire, I guess.
I mean, think about guys that have been in prison. Like a legit.
Yeah, but they still can go out in the courtyard.
Some of them they can.
Sure.
And the supermax.
Yard dog. I mean, does everyone walk off
a courtyard? Don't make it. Thinking they walk out to the plaza.
Like, if you walk off the
should we have a stroll? Silly.
Isn't everyone wearing like big Florida man sunglasses or something?
What's that? When I get off the.
Yeah,
I would think so.
You'd have to think. When were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
mean, I hate to admit it, but I've traveled during the wintertime just to the East Coast and been driving, been like, somebody give me a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah,
I haven't seen
forget.
This thing in
yeah, exactly.
seems like a month.
What is that?
Right?
Hello, Don. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Don.
Don?
No, Don.
That's all right. Let's talk to Seth. Hello, Seth. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores. So, up until recently, I was a commercial diver down in the Gulf of Mexico. And after Harvey hit, there was a bunch of sailboats, a bunch of different watercraft that had gone down. And I went and worked with the Coast Guard to salvage a bunch of them. Well, we were down in Puerto Rico, and there was some particularly nasty mud, kind of silty, sandy stuff. It would kind of hold together unless you got too deep, and then, you know, it would collapse. Well, I was using a jet pump to dig a big hole underneath this sailboat so we could run straps, and I was probably about 8 feet down, 9 feet down. And I didn't make the hole quite wide enough, and all the mud collapsed in on me.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's kind of like an avalanche. Like, it's real heavy. But I was a hard hat diver, so it's kind of like putting a big old 35-pound helmet on. So even though I couldn't move my body, I could still breathe fine.
So it's like 20,000 leagues under the sea. You've got one of those dome kind of things that goes over your head.
Yeah, it's not quite like the old Mark V's, like, Men of Honor, but it is a hard helmet that weighs about 35 pounds.
So did they have to come down and dig you out?
No, not that one. Fortunately, I didn't panic. That's about the worst thing you can do as a diver is panic and try to rocket to surface or overbreathe your hat.
People say that. Panic is never the best decision, and yet all of us panic. Plenty. Like, we understand the panicking is not good, but but it's hard to convince yourself not to panic. So, like, what do you do? What do you tell yourself to stay calm?
Oh, great. Not again.
Not again.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And, you know, it's like, I don't know. You're saving some guy's sailboat. So, this is a guy that could probably afford another sailboat, I'm guessing.
Most of the stuff that we were salvaging was then owned by the Coast Guard, so it had already gone through, like, insurance and stuff, and we were just there to basically pull them up, and they were getting scrapped.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Yeah. That's crazy.
I will say, I've been at tide bed before low tide.
Yeah.
And same thing. Walked way too far out.
And then you sink in?
Yeah. It's, like, up to your knee, and you gotta, like...
And you start to panic, right?
Yeah, you do.
I was close. It was far enough from the shore where I could see my one buddy, and I yelled over to him, and he's like, I'm stuck too.
Oh,
at that point, I thought about panicking, and then was just like, well, we got to get out of here.
We talked about that up in Anchorage. There's that bay, that inlet, that has signs everywhere, because there's a walkway along the entire thing, and the tides are so severe that basically it looks like you could walk out there.
And it says don't.
It's still flat.
Do not do this.
Yeah. And guys get out there and get up to their waist, and then the tide comes in.
But see, I'm easy to convince with stuff like that. Like, yeah, dog, that's how it says don't do it. I'm not doing it. Like, yep. What comes to the wilderness, I'm not doing it. We had the guy that was on the submarine. He got trapped in the freezer. Said he was in there for an hour and a half. And he's like, man, whatever you do, I can't bang on the door for rescue, which seemed ridiculous to me. But somebody puts it in perfect perspective, they said, look, man, understand, depending on your location, banging on a door to submarine, it echoes, which can give away your position and jeopardize everyone's life on the boat.
Oh.
Hunt for Red October. Think that. As far as finally breaching and coming back up to the surface from a submarine, somebody says, I went 80 days without seeing direct sunlight. Someone else says, my husband is an ex-submariner. They lose depth perception, can't drive for several days when they come off, but they do have the best food in the military.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
That's
I mean, if you're going to be down there, you might as well eat. When were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
Yeah.
There, you're trapped, we're going to feed you.
I mean, what do you do? That? You can't watch television, you know? You can't.
I mean, that's like one of the big rules with taking hostages.
What
you're
is
supposed
that?
To feed them.
Well, yeah, because then it's not so much a hostage situation anymore.
I'm going to say you're
then
right.
It's recovery.
Right. Gently. No matter what the worst thing is, it's like, well, we got some food.
But do they feed you well?
Well, I doubt it.
Yeah, okay. I'm just joking.
I mean, it's not the best situation to order food you like.
It's not, but I feel like if I had a nice hostage taker, well, look, man, I'm... thank you for giving me pizza. Next time, can we not do Hawaiian? I'm not big on the pizza.
Isn't that always the joke back in the day when somebody takes over the bank? Send in some pizzas.
Always. Who's the pizza delivery driver that has to do that? Hey, Kevin, you're up, man.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
He's got hostages.
Right, it's obviously one of the cops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why would you, like, dude, you know this is an armed person.
Right.
Hello, Cole. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going?
Doing well, sir. Thank you.
All right, so I got a good one for you. This is at my last job, and I've probably only been there for about 4 months. And my coworker and supervisor was putting away pallets inside the warehouse, and they were 10 feet tall. You know, you couldn't climb up them or anything. And he trapped me in between the rows and left me there for my entire shift.
Did he know he did that?
Oh yeah, he did it on purpose.
Oh, was that some type of initiation?
I don't know why he did it. He pulled it out at the end of the day. I didn't have my phone because I didn't bring it into the warehouse with me. So I couldn't call nobody to come move them for me or nothing. So I was just stuck there. And he pulled out at the end of the day. He's like, did you have fun? I was like, I guess. I got pee really bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair. That's a fair response.
So I guess they do that to all the new hires?
No, that was the only person they ever did it to.
Huh.
Maybe they just didn't like me. I don't know.
I was going to say, do you feel special? Or is there more to it?
I mean, kind of.
Okay, all right.
I think specials are being quotation marks. But he's not alone. There was a guy, he broke into, a tire store or something like that overnight. Anyway, a big thing of tires fell on top of him. Tires are freaking heavy, right? So all these tires land on top of him. He cannot get his way out of there. So he has to call the cops and say, hey, man, I'm at, Miles' discount tire. They're like, yeah, I broke in. They're like, okay, I'm trapped under the tires, dog. You got to get me out of here. Like, the guy was almost crying, they said, when he got there.
Best story lately is from last week. A woman is a little embarrassed but well-rested after falling asleep testing a mattress in a Missouri store and spending the night there. Richmond Heights police say that officers were called to the undisclosed store at about 8 a.m. after a worker found the woman wandering inside the business prior to its opening. Woman told police she'd been trying a display mattress in the evening and fell asleep. And they locked her in there. Police posted on social media that was the best mattress endorsement we've ever heard.
Sure.
Yeah.
Store operators declined to press charges, and they just felt bad that she...
What are you going
to
press charges for?
Well, she was testing the mattresses at the end of the shift. They didn't notice that she was laying down on one of the beds.
But they said they declined to press charges. I'm like, what did she do that you would press... For what? She didn't break and enter.
That one's worse than the gym one. And that's just a store floor. At least right. The gym had like a pool room and locker room.
Sure.
See somebody getting locked in there.
Yeah, I mean, but she slept the whole way through until she waked up and realized that she fell asleep in a mattress store.
Yeah, they said the employees were a little alarmed and they showed up for work. They're like, who's that woman?
I hope I just get to sleep with one of those sheep.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Surveillance footage captured a man grabbing a bottle of Pepsi and trying to break the door down with a fire extinguisher after the cashier locked the front doors remotely, preventing him from leaving. Gabriel Tillman, who was 49 years old, was arrested on Thursday. He's currently facing charges of grand theft, petty theft, and criminal mischief after he was allegedly caught on camera stealing a 16-ounce bottle of Pepsi from a local gas station, according to the Tampa Bay Times. The Polk County Sheriff's Office posted video of the incident, complete with the outlandish sound effects on Facebook. Cameras captured a man believed to be Tillman walking into the Citgo and promptly grabbing a bottle of Pepsi before trying to slip out the door. However, the man's efforts were thwarted when the cashier spotted the attempted theft and pushed a button that allowed him to lock the door and prevent him from leaving. Video shows the man then in vain forcing the door open and trying before grabbing a fire extinguisher and trying to break the door down. He was again unsuccessful, failing to break the glass, but successfully breaking the fire extinguisher.
Jeez.
At that point, further damage to the property occurred. The cashier unlocked the door and the man left with soda in hand. However, the soda thief did not make it far. Police said a deputy located him a mere two blocks away from the scene, still drinking the stolen Pepsi. When were you locked out, stuck, or trapped? 844-999-OLA.
A couple of interesting texts here. It says, Miles reminds me of Handsome Dan from Wayne's World 2. I do not remember.
I don't remember that either.
Who, do you remember this, Dan? Usually the obscure character reference guy. Handsome Dan, Wayne's World 2. Got nothing?
Man, I don't.
All right, I'm going to have to Google that.
Because Wayne's World 2 is the one where they put on the concert.
See, you remember that part.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, cross all the T's and dot all the
lowercase
J's.
Oh, I thought that was the first one. Okay, my bad.
Right, because the first one, their show gets... It's the second one.
Okay. You're about to go down the wormhole.
Well, I was just saying, the first one, the show gets like bought by a bigger company, and then they end up getting Wayne's World back. This one, they're putting on the big concert.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're like Handsome Dan, Miles. Just wanted to share that
Sweet.
With you. Hello. Oh, damn it. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, this time I was with my coworkers. There's about eight of us. We were hanging out in Yakima, and... never been there before downtown, so we went to the Brews and Q's. A couple of them been there before. I went to the Brews and Q's, had a few drinks with probably for about an hour or so. So we were looking for somewhere to get dinner, so we went to the it's called the Yakima Sports Center. It's a big bar and grill, and we were drinking all night long, eating, having a good old time. Ended up paying our tab and leaving. Actually, we didn't pay our tab; someone else paid it for us.
Nice.
But we ended up down back at the Brews and Q's, had a few more drinks after that. A few of us don't remember much. I woke, all of a sudden, I remember waking up. It was really dark. I started feeling around, small feeling room, found the doorknob, opened the door, and it was about 4 o'clock, and I was in the very back of the bar. It's a long, narrow bar, and I opened the door. And I see nothing but an empty bar with bar stools on the tables. All the chairs and everything is up. Nobody's around. So I start going to every single camera. There's about five or six of them in there. I went to every single one. Hey, I don't know if anyone's paying attention or watching this live, but I'm locked in the bar. Come to find out, it took me about 15 minutes, they said, for me to find a beer.
Took you 15 minutes to find a beer? Is that what you said?
Yeah, because I was walking around trying to figure out how I was going to get out of this place. And I went to the doors, and there are those double-locking doors where they lock on the inside and the outside.
Yeah.
So I was stuck, pretty much stuck in there. So I open a fridge, find a little mini fridge, grab a Coors Light, sit down for a second and think, I can't call the cops. I don't know what they'll think.
And yes, you do.
I don't know who else I can call. So I go ahead and start looking around for keys. I look next to the cash register. I mean, I looked for, they said I was in there for 35 total minutes looking around.
Who is they? The people that saw the surveillance video after the fact?
Yes, I had to go. So I found the keys finally, and there's about 20 keys on there. I tried every single one, and of course, the last one unlocked the door.
Naturally.
I opened the door, locked it behind me, and took a walk to McDonald's, and I thought I was walking the right way. and asked the lady, I said, where's so-and-so hotel? I can't remember what it was. She goes, it's about a mile and a half that way. So I was walking the wrong way the whole time.
And so how do you get the keys back to the bar? Do you wait for them to open, show back up, and explain your situation?
So I knocked on my coworker's hotel door, and I said, hey. And I held the keys up, and he goes, what is that? I said, actually, it's keys to a bar. Man, I got locked in the bar last night. He's like, what? And so I was like, we got to get back. And my phone's there. I can't find my phone anywhere. My iPhone app shows that it's downtown Yakima. So I go back down to the bar, and it's locked up. They don't open until 11. It's like 8:30 in the morning. And all of a sudden, I walk to the back door, him and I, and there's the beer guy. So the door's open. I walk in, and there's two guys standing there. And I look at them, and I go, do any of you guys work here? And the guy goes, I do. And I go, hey, here's your keys. And he goes, oh, you're the guy that was in here last night. And I go, I'll be back. When does the manager get here? And he goes, 11. I go, okay, I'll be back at 11. So keep looking for my phone. Come back at 11. Right when I walk in the door, I see this guy walk down the stairs, and he's just busting up laughing. And he goes, dude, we've been watching you on camera for 35 minutes. And it took you 15 minutes to find a beer. That's the first thing I would have done. And then I would have turned the TV on.
I was going to say, we got a free course wine out of the deal, though.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.